This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
A couple of years back, staff writer Ariel Levy sat down for a conversation with Toni Collette. The evening was called I Contain Multitudes. The name was a reference to both Walt Whitman and Collette's resume, which is huge. She's done comedies and dramas and horror, indie favorites like Little Miss Sunshine, and blockbusters like The Sixth Sense. But I Contain Multitudes was also a nod to Collette's role in Showtime's United States of Tara. You might remember the show was about a woman suffering from dissociative identity disorder, what was once called a split personality. It was acclaimed for its really incisive view of a mental health issue, and it was a very demanding role for the star. Here's Collette with Ariel Levy talking in 2013.
Would you be generous enough to tell us the infamous story of your dubious early success as an actress with appendicitis?
Oh, Jesus. It's so embarrassing, but yes, it's true. My mother made the mistake of telling me what it was like when she had appendicitis. She told me she was 11. She told me that it was odd because when the doctor pressed in, it didn't hurt. It was when they released the hand that she felt pain. So when I was 11, I kind of had a little bit of a pain in my belly. I thought, I'll give this a crack. And I ended up in hospital having surgery.
She didn't have appendicitis. She acted. She's such a good actress. They had no choice but to cut her
stomach open. It's horrific. It's mortifying. And
I think it's kind of great.
No.
So tell us a little bit about how you got your first movie role when you were 17 with Anthony Hopkins in the...
Spotswood, it was called, in Australia, which is a suburb of near Melbourne in Victoria. But I think it was...
The Efficiency Expert.
Which is very enticing. Definitely want to see that movie. First of all, I didn't think I was going to get the role. I just went along and things... My life has kind of been like that. There's one foot in front of the other. It just kind of seems to flow. But I was working with Anthony Hopkins, which was pretty fantastic and slightly intimidating. And I was away from home. I was still living at home with my parents. And then I had my own apartment in Melbourne. It was, you know, being taken out to dinners and clubs and, you know, hanging out with exciting people and having wild conversations. And suddenly I was, you know, in the world.
That doesn't sound that bad.
No, it wasn't bad.
That's pretty good.
It was pretty fun, yeah.
For a 17-year-old?
That's right.
Oh, my God.
After doing the first film that I did another couple of plays, a musical with the STC, Sydney Theatre Company, and then I went to drama school for a little while. I left and did some more plays. I dropped out of school, then I dropped out of drama school. I'm just like a professional dropout. And it's been good, but I really should go back and finish school. I wouldn't advise it. I mean, to leave. I don't want my kids to leave.
Right, look at your life, it's a mess.
Actually, I think there are other ways of learning. It has, you know, I've had my own education in my own fashion. And then Muriel's Wedding came along. I remember when I was trying to decide whether to leave drama school, and when I was asking my agent, you know, should I leave, she said, oh, there's this project, I think you're right for it, but, you know, they're still getting the money together. And that, in fact, was Muriel's Wedding. So I took that information and, like, it must have been a year and a half later or something, I rang her and said, you know, you mentioned this a while ago, what's going on? And that day, she said, actually, I was just about to call you because it's just come back. I was so innocent, oh my God.
And when you read the script, did you feel, okay, this is for me, this is right for me?
Yes, absolutely.
What about it?
Everything.
Everything.
Yeah, I mean, She just goes through so much, and I, as a young woman, could really identify with it. And even though it has, it's a kind of genre that I gravitate towards. It's very, very funny, but it's also quite dark.
It seems like you've played a lot of characters in your career that are sort of just east or west of normal.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, you agree.
North or so south? Yeah.
You're
anyway,
naturally attracted to characters on the margins.
I think I am. Yeah. I really am realizing I have a little bit of a something that I keep going towards, which is that you might not feel like you fit in, and someone coming to learn to accept that that's okay. You know, we're all so different, and it's all okay. That's really it. That's what I keep coming back to in terms of themes.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if after Muriel's Wedding came out, if you got dozens of scripts about, like, plucky, chubby girls.
I got a few, I have to say, and some of them weren't bad. And I don't know where I had this idea, but I knew that I shouldn't just keep repeating that kind of performance, and so I didn't. And I'm so glad that I didn't, because I think it allowed me such variety in an unexpected career. You know, I think as an artist, you should push yourself and try, you know, you don't want to repeat yourself. You're creating, and creativity is change. And so I have never wanted to play the same kind of character.
I read that one of the roles that you were offered then was a plucky, chubby girl, was Bridget Jones.
Mm.
You were offered that role.
Yeah.
And you couldn't take it because you were committed to do Broadway.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because it's of that mold in a way.
I agree. Yeah, I think that's probably why it was offered to me.
Yeah.
So it was, of course, I mean, I would have loved to have done it. I love that movie.
Yeah.
But I also loved what I was doing at the time. So, I mean, life is not just about work. I think you experience what you're meant to in, you know, whatever context or field. So I've never had weird regrets, or I should have done that, or I shouldn't have done that. I just think life happens as it should. You have choices, and it all balances out.
So are you fairly relaxed all the time? Because you're like, it's going to be the way it's supposed to be.
No, I can get worked up. But I think I am pretty relaxed, yeah.
I want to talk a little about your amazing work on the United States of Tara, which I just can't get over. I mean, it's just a mind-blowing thing that you were able to play this one person who has all these alter egos and make them each their own character, but each clearly a component of this one central character. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, what was the research that went into that role? How much did you research what life is like for people with multiple personality disorder? what's the new diagnosis, she says?
It's called dissociative identity disorder. I read as much as I could. We had a woman as a consultant on, you know, with the writers and who would visit the set who did have DID. Everyone wanted to make it as true as possible. You know, it's kind of a serious, horrible condition. At first I was like, I heard about it and thought, how can that possibly be funny? They were calling it a comedy, but I think that the writers just struck such a beautiful balance between all of those emotions and characters. I loved it. I miss it. It was such a great job. What a gift as an actor.
Was that the first TV show that you'd done?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what was that like? What was the transition to television like?
I don't think it was a normal television job because, yeah. I mean, I was in every frame. I had scenes with myself. It was just so much work. it was full on. But if I didn't love it as much as I did, I probably would have died. But I just felt I was so in love with the story and with everyone that I was working with, and it somehow felt important. And, it just really turned me on, you know. I was happy to get up and go to work at 4:30 in the morning, even though I had a three-month-old baby. You know, it was a crazy time, but I loved it, yeah.
Was it ever a conflict between, you know, for everyone, not just for you, but for the people writing and making that show, was it ever a conflict between trying to make it engaging and amusing and trying to make it true to the reality of that mental illness, or that those things aren't in opposition?
I think they were always true to Tara and her plight. But, you know, they knew that it was on TV and it was entertainment. So, that's what I mean. It was a fine balance. But I think that they kind of, I think they did it really well.
It strikes me that, I mean, and this has changed with recent work, which we'll get to, but it seems like so many of the really interesting roles for women are sort of one step over. I mean, it's being a supporting actress as opposed to the leading lady so often, where you get to do the most interesting stuff. Is that fair or not really?
I would say it's fair, yeah. Unless you're working on a low budget movie where people have less money to lose, I think there's a certain need to make things safe and to make them as appealing to as many people as possible, which means it's completely watered down so that somehow gets through to the masses. And I think that perhaps the supporting roles can be a little bit more challenging or real.
Or risque.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
I read you say in some interview that you only recently started thinking of yourself as a feminist as well as a humanist. Tell us about what changed? What was that evolution?
I think I'm still a humanist. I just, I think I got to the point where I was kind of, I've always been really happy with the work that I've been offered and the experiences that I've had. But then I was looking around my industry and I started asking a few more questions. And and that's when I kind of thought I need to get a bit more involved maybe.
Well, I think you are. I mean, I would say that playing this many interesting characters, this many different characters, this many characters that aren't safe and that aren't in any way, rarely, except for maybe Alice of the multiple personalities, who's like a psycho 50s housewife. I mean, very rarely have you played women who are just confirming any kind of stereotypes about women or about, and you've never played anyone who wasn't interesting, who was just there as, you know, decoration. And that's, I mean, how many actors can you say that about?
I love you, that's so nice.
True, right? All right.
well, that's what I try to do. I mean, that's what I've tried to do, so thank you. That's lovely to hear.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Aria Levy talking with the actress Toni Collette.